Welcome to The Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I got 69 problems, and dicks are like a whole bunch of them. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I'm not laughing at that.
But it was such a great intertextual joke. No, it wasn't. It was middle of the road. Speaking of middle of the road,
that's not a segue.
Well, because 69ing is sort of middle of the road between giving head and getting head, you know, like it's a happy medium, or an unhappy medium, as the case may be. We'll find out more as the episode goes on. Breaking news.
Just turn into like a newscaster there for a second.
Breaking, the Dildorks are ambivalent about 69ing. And everyone's like,
yeah, they've never
breaking.
Heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's not like this has come up 69 plus other times on this show.
So as you may have noticed, this is our 69th episode of the show.
Nice.
And we're running with that because we're 14.
No, we're 69. Oh, man. Can you imagine us still being in our 60s and still doing this show?
Uh-huh. Yeah, actually, I could.
What would we even be talking about at that point? We'd have so many more complicated kinks.
Sex robots.
True. All sex robots all the time.
Yeah.
Would you fuck a sex robot, Bex? I'm sorry, this is off topic, but I have to know.
I mean, so, like, if I was in a room and a dude was like, here's a sex robot, I would be like, yeah, aight. Like, if there were no reasons not to, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't, like, save money to acquire a sex robot.
Yeah, no.
Like, I wouldn't, you know, go out there and pursue and hunt down a sex... That sounds creepy, but, like, you know, find a way to get my hands on a sex robot. But, like, if I was presented with an opportunity, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think same. And I also think, like, I have sex toys which already more or less approximate what I think I would get out of a sex robot. Like, for example, automatic thrusting, which you could do with the Fun Factory Stronic Eins, which I own, and which is very good. I don't know that I would get a lot out of there being, like, a dude body attached to the dick fucking me. That makes me sound terrible. I mean, in a robot, not in a person. Anyway, 69ing.
I'd be interested in the control mechanisms for the sex robot, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if it has an AI that learns better than or as well as a human,
yeah,
that's one thing. Or if you can get really precise with the feedback you give it. But, like, otherwise, if it's just, like, gonna go through a bunch of pre-programmed patterns, I would rather just have my sex toy.
Yeah, if it can learn how to thrust me, or how to... That's not how that verb works. If it can learn how to fuck me, and perhaps do that via feedback it receives from my muscles and my sounds, that would be badass. I would be into that.
Yeah.
But, like, one of my, like, huge kinks is, like, a partner knowing and remembering exactly how to get me off. And I wonder if that would also translate to a robot, because I would know that it wasn't doing that through, like, sheer willpower of mind. Interesting discussions. I'm doing a sponsored post soon for a company that makes sex dolls. Not the ones that have AI or, like, robotics in them, but just, like, the dolls. And I was thinking, like, if someone wanted to just send me one of those, like, what would I do with it? I think I would put cute outfits on it.
I would do so many things with it. Like, not sex things, just things.
I would put a joint in its mouth, because that's funny.
Like, it would have a place at my dinner table. Like, it would just be my new roommate.
You'd have to, like, try so many different outfits on it.
Just leave it standing in the window for long periods of time and freak people out.
I was actually thinking it would be fun for us to have someone on the show this year who's like, attracted to sex dolls or sex robots, because that is like a huge sub community. I know that our pals on the Off the Cuffs podcast had someone on named Dave Cat who's like has like partners who are his sex robots, and that's like fascinating to me, and I think that our culture is moving in that direction. I want to know more about that. Oh, so many things.
Yeah,
we got really off topic because we may have smoked a Lil 420 before the 69 app, but
that's not how numbers go.
Those are the two best numbers, and I fit them in one sentence naturally without even trying to force it.
We counted wrong.
You know, when we do our 420th episode, that's when shit's really gonna pop off.
Oh, Jesus. I made our new episode spreadsheet for the new year, mm-hmm. and the first thing I wrote in was found out which date was closest to 420 and put in our 420 episode.
That's a top priority. I love that episode. I'm so excited to do another one. It's 3 months away, and I'm already getting geared up.
It was so good.
So, 69ing, we have historically been known as haters of the 69, and I think I remain mostly in that camp, but my opinion has become more nuanced over time. What are your thoughts on 69ing, Bex?
So, I was thinking about this earlier, like, trying to come up with a more nuanced conversation about why I feel the way I feel about 69, but there really isn't one. It's just fucking distracting. Like, yep. I either want to be going down on someone or having them do things to my junk, but I can't fully focus on one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wind up getting, like, half of each experience.
Yeah.
So rather than, like, double the pleasure, it's, like, half of both of the things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's weird. The other thing, though, is that I thought was interesting is that, like, I don't have a problem with being spit roasted or things like that, where, like, a completely different person is fucking me while I'm going down on someone. But I think it's because 69, like, expects you to actually be giving head, where when you're getting spit roasted, they're really just fucking your mouth. Like, you're not responsible for much there.
Right, and also the motion of the getting fucked during the spit roast, I would assume, pushes you forward rhythmically onto the dick that you're sucking, whereas there's nothing really about 69ing that, like, propels you into giving better head while you're getting it. Like, you kind of have to really focus and work at it.
Yeah, they're not intuitive motions, really.
Yeah. Although I have had a few partners who told me that they were into the kind of way I got, like, slack-jawed and, not very good at what I was doing when they would go down on me while we were 69ing, because they liked the sort of, like, feralness of my response to that, which is cool, but then I get all my, like, good girl teacher's pet kinks activated in a not great way, because I'm like, I have to do the best possible job at this, and these are not circumstances where I can do that, and that makes me feel incompetent and sometimes sad, because, like, when I'm subspacey and don't do a good job on a BJ, it, like, affects me at a very deep emotional level sometimes. And so, that's part of why I don't like it. I did a poll on Twitter because I was curious what, like, the general opinion of 69ing is. I mean, my Twitter people are more sex positive than the average group, of course, but, like, I was interested in getting a gauge on that. And 56% of respondents said that they do like 69ing, and then 29% said they don't like it, and then the remaining 15% said maybe. And then they explained some of the circumstances that might make that happen for them. Is that about what you would expect those results to be like?
I don't know. I think so. I feel like it got me thinking a lot about how I felt about 69, like, before I was having a lot of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, I don't know, I feel like it has this air of being, like, this, like, you know, really sexy thing, like this Cosmo sex move or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people do it, like, twice and are like, yeah, nah. Why?
It reminds me, like, I don't know if it doesn't always have to be a romantic thing. or a slow sensual thing or whatever. But in my mind, it's very much connected to that sort of like slow, romantic, emotionally intimate, connective sex, which I think we talked about in our episode about romance, that like the idea of quote romantic sex has like never appealed to me and never done anything for me. And in fact, sometimes like actively turns me off and makes me feel anxious. Like sex where it's like slow and gentle and you're like staring into each other's eyes and exchanging I love yous and stuff. Like that has just like never done it for me. And I have always kind of had this image of 69ing as falling into that category. I think because like I've done it in that way a few times. And it's one of my partners who was really into 69ing told me that the entire reason he was really into it was because it felt so emotionally connective and intimate and he felt so close to me. And I remember feeling like really grossed out by that at the time. I don't know what's wrong with me because like I loved him. I just, that idea with anyone is like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't, that's not generally a feeling I get from sex.
Like, so we have this reputation as 69 haters, but are there situations or have there been situations where you have enjoyed 69ing?
Yeah, I think that's interesting because, like, most of what I've done with 69ing is me, like, leaning down, me being basically on top, going down on someone, mm-hmm. and then they just start doing stuff to my junk, which mostly is just like, I mean, I suppose. Like, I am down with you doing that, but I'm a little busy right now. Can we just, like, postpone this for a second? But I could see, obviously put power exchange into it, and that's really hot for me, regardless. Yeah. So someone, like, pulling me over and, like, arms on my thighs holding me there and being like, this is what I want, mm. and this is going to make the blowjob better for me, so you're going to stay here. Ugh. Like, like, any sort of, like, power exchange stuff like that would definitely work. Mm-hmm. But also, the times I've done it where I'm on the bottom and someone's sitting on my face and leaning forward to play with my junk is also, like, I was like, oh, this is great. This is, like, no work. I just get all of the good things. But also, like, especially if I'm playing with someone's ass instead of their, like, their bits and or their cock or whatever. I don't know, it just seems more simple and intuitive, I guess. I don't know, but there's less of that, like, ah, I'm not doing it right, because they're just on my face.
Right.
Like, and it's just happening.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I've only ever liked it twice, I think, in my entire sexual career, and both times it was very much imbued with DS, power exchange stuff like you said, which I think was probably why it worked. One of the times was I was hooking up with a dommy guy and I was going down on him and he like bossed me into turning around and sitting on his face because that was what he wanted, and he was like very demanding and matter of fact about it, and it was very good. I had a lot of feelings about it. And then the other time it was really good was I was being more dommy. I was like going down on this dude and I knew that he really liked eating ass and I thought that he would enjoy doing that at that particular moment and that it would enhance the proceedings. So I turn around and straddle his face, and I like when analingus is involved in 69ing because I feel like it's slightly less distracting to me than stuff happening to my front bits, so I can focus a little more on what I'm doing. Do you have thoughts about positions? Because, like, I went out for coffee with an old friend today and I told her I was about to record this episode. And I was like, what's your take on 69ing? And she was like, I only like it when it's sideways as opposed to somebody being on top of somebody else. And I was like, I don't think I've ever even done that. I don't know how I would feel about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think I've done sideways just, like, temporarily as we were shifting and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever, like, spent a lot of time on that. Mm-hmm. I think someone else being on top is definitely preferred for me because I'm lazy. And I'm like, I get surrounded by pillows and butt. It's great.
Everything you need in life.
Seriously. It's so good. I'm trying to think at how many other positions there are, but I'm just coming up with that, like, Olympian level bullshit where someone's, like, holding someone and, like, I'm not trying to die.
Yeah, no, if there's any chance of me falling, I'm not turned on. No, thank you.
Yeah, like, there is no, I don't care how strong you are, there is no moment where I'm like, wow, look at how muscly you are the entire time. I'm like, I'm gonna die. This is how I die. I'm gonna die with cock in my mouth. I guess it's fine.
So, question. I'm interested in, like, the intersections of 69ing and, like, insecurity. Because for me, this is, like, a lot of the reason I don't like it, too, is, like, I feel like any position where I'm, like, sitting on someone's face, they are getting, like, a face full of me, and then they might be getting, like, kind of an unflattering view of me. And, like, with 69ing, like, their nose is, like, right in my butt. I have to, like, really feel confident that that's something they're into and that they want. So the anxiety piece is, like, a lot of why I've avoided this position, I think, except with, like, partners I trusted a lot. Is that something that you feel about it?
Like, I think, I don't know if it might even pull me away from my anxiety a little bit more than I would feel if they were just, like, doing stuff to me and I wasn't distracted by, like, dicks in my face or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or vulvas in my face. All of the bits in my face. That's all I'm trying to say right now. I think for me, part of the issue is when I'm getting, like, when I'm having sex or trying to move in a path toward orgasm and trying to actually, like, focus on how everything feels, I get really overwhelmed really easy. Mm-hmm. And, like, not overstimulated to a point where it hurts, but overstimulated to a point where, like, my brain gets overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So my eyes are closed during sex a lot. And, like, 69 puts me in that really overwhelmed space in a way that's distracting and annoying. Like, it doesn't let me start tuning things out. Mm-hmm. To kind of focus on what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be fun to kind of overwhelm me, and there are, like, kink ways to play with that, but 69 just hasn't ever wound up being one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always just been more, like, of a distraction and, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind being overwhelmed during sex as long as I don't also have to do something with competence at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I've occasionally had dommy partners kind of try to overwhelm me in that way, and then they would give me some kind of task that I had to do while they were doing stuff to me. Like, even if I just had to, like, count the number of spanks or, like, say a mantra out loud or something. And, like, I get so stressed out about, like, having to do that thing properly that it, like, makes it hard for me to enjoy what's happening. And then it also makes me, like, weirdly sad, like I was saying. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's, I need to kind of be able to get into subspace, even if it's, mm-hmm. even if I'm not feeling subby,
mm-hmm.
but I still, there's a specific headspace I need to get into, and 69 is too many different things going on, and doesn't let me kind of
mm-hmm.
go into that space, whereas, like, getting spit roasted, or just, like, any threesome position where I'm giving and receiving at the same time, I'm more passive in that position, and I can kind of, I don't know, get into that space of just receiving.
Yeah.
Even though I'm kind of giving head, I'm more receiving a face-fucking. Yeah. I'm not expected to be competent.
And, like, part of my reasons for liking oral sex as a kink thing is the one-sided nature of it.
Yeah.
Like, either I'm being, like, devoured because that is the only thing this person wants at this moment, or, like, I'm doing a service-y thing for someone or whatever. And, like, when you take away that one-sided quality of it, it instantly loses a lot of what I find so hot about it. Because, like, oral sex, like, I wouldn't say that it's, like, a fetish or a kink of mine, because, like, it's a vanilla, ostensibly sexual activity, so, like, it's hard to say that it's a kink, but, like, most of my, like, fantasizing and porn consumption is oral sex, and I think that that's because of the DS one-sided thing, like, no matter which way that manifests.
Yeah, and you also, like, practically lose the fun of getting to watch them receive head.
I mean, you can feel them, which is an interesting and different thing in itself.
Yeah.
But I would usually rather watch
And, like, them. Muffled moans are also good.
Yeah.
Like, that is a very good sound.
Yeah.
But, yeah, being able to really watch someone fully experience it, because even as much as you can watch and feel them, they're also in that, like, halfway point, right, where they can't fully relax into what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Because they're also doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I'm giving you head, I want it to be so good that you lose track of all the other shit that's happening to you, and that's not ideal when we're 69ing.
Yeah, why do you think people like it, though? Like, why do you think it still has this reputation as, like, I don't know, that 69 is, like, a big sex thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a bunch of people about why they like it, because I'm a journalist, and when I meet someone who holds a different opinion than me, I want to know everything about it. And what I often hear is the emotional piece, like the intimacy, the closeness, the mutuality, the reciprocality. But then I also hear a lot of, like, they like the overwhelming nature of it. They like that it's so much at once. And then one of my partners this week was telling me that he likes it as a game, like a kink game, where basically, like, you're trying to get the other person so turned on that they, like, throw you off of them and fuck your face or whatever. Like, you're both kind of playing chicken. And I was like, okay, I could get into it if that was the situation.
That sounds great. Yeah, that could be fun.
Yeah.
I could also just get into it, like, I've been into it when other partners are super into it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, as part of service, but also as of just enjoying how much they're enjoying what's happening to them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, like, in theory, I can totally understand the idea of, like, if you're already getting really good head and you like giving head, then, like, adding some bits in your mouth is just going to, like, deepen the experience and make it even better. Like, I can get that intellectually, but in practice, that's not what that feels like for me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in my brain, it sounds like it should be the best thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, my opinion this year especially has changed a little bit, where I'm like, all right, there are ways to do it that are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times that, like, not even times that it happened, times that I just found myself thinking about that.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, or just, like, fantasizing about wanting someone sitting on my face and being like, oh, and then they could play with my bits. They could just lean down and do that if they wanted. Huh? And then being like, wait, that's 69.
Yeah, yeah.
You've tricked me, brain.
I think my DS thing is such that I pretty much only want to do it if someone is, like, quote-unquote forcing me to do it, or if I'm forcing someone to do it, and otherwise I'm kind of not interested.
Literally me about most things. Yeah. Well, is someone forcing me to do it? Because that could be hot. I was asking you about picking up carrots. Yeah, you know, it...
Grocery dom. I like it.
You know.
So we've talked about how part of what we don't like about 69ing is the, like, reciprocal, mutual quality of it. But I'm curious how you feel about other sex acts that are reciprocal in that way. So, like, giving each other hand jobs at the same time, for example, or, like, both of you getting off during PIV, or, like, do those feel different to you?
I mean, not... They feel different, but they're also not, like, high on my list of, like, yes, gotta go do those things. Like, I think that's one thing that, like, is a bigger part of queer sex than, you know, quote-unquote straight sex.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea of, like, taking turns.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, straight sex just ends with the PIV and everyone comes at the same time and then fairies explode. like, that's how that happens, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's rainbows and glitter and stuff. But, like, I much prefer being able to fully focus on, like, one person's pleasure at a time. The exception, I do... But, I mean, I was gonna say I do really like PIV, but honestly, like, I'm down with, you know, a top getting off during PIV and then doing more stuff to me so I can get off again after.
Yeah.
You know? And then you get to play with the whole come as lube thing, which is, you know, also fun.
Jesus. I had a partner at one point who was really interested in the idea of the simultaneous orgasm during PIV, which is, like, sort of one of the fabled ideal end goals of PIV, according to some people.
I thought you were going to say according to science.
No. No.
I was like, that can't possibly be true.
No, it's not. And so he became a little bit obsessed with, like, trying to line up our timing so that he could make this happen. And he was actually really good at it, because, like, part of it is I have some very, like, predictable noises. Like, my noises shift in very predictable ways. So, like, he grew able to read that and to line himself up with it. And I actually found I fucking hated it, because hate is a strong word. I was not a fan of it. Because in the, like, minute or so after coming, that is when I'm, like, the most sensitive inside and really want to be, like, pounded, like, a lot, hard and fast and deep and the whole thing. And if he came at the exact same time as me, then there would be none of that. And it made my orgasm, yep, like, a lot less satisfying. And I would always be like, okay, can you, like, get the fuck out of me so I can, like, get a toy in me? And but he couldn't, because he had just come and he was, like, collapsed on top of me, so... Yeah, and then it's just, like, it's a lot of pressure, and I already have enough issues feeling like I take too long to come without someone there, like, trying to make it happen at a specific time, even if they think it's for a good reason, and it's just, like, a weird thing to aspire to, I think.
Yeah, and again, like, I want to watch you come.
Exactly.
Which is hard if I'm currently coming.
Yeah, I...
Like, that tends to distract a guy.
Yes. There's a lot of, like, discourse about how, like, a sexually skilled straight guy would get off his female partner before getting off himself. Like, you know, there's the book She Comes First. And I actually, like, I don't mind if a dude partner comes before me, because, like, those sounds are going to be, like, playing in my head while I'm trying to come, and that's very helpful to me. So yeah. I think I'm just not into the simultaneous orgasm thing. It really kind of, like, ruins a lot of what I like about my orgasm and other people's orgasms.
Yeah, I mean, I think just what we've learned in this episode is that we're not down for simultaneous much. We just really like watching people and not having to think about shit while people are doing stuff to us.
My biggest kink is asynchronicity. Akinchronicity? No. All right, rein it in.
It's like, today we learned Bex likes to lay the fuck down.
I wrote this tweet.
And stop throwing this complicated shit at them. Get off my lawn.
I wrote this tweet a while ago that was like, is it a kink if I want someone to hold me down and hold a vibrator on my clit, or is it just laziness? I think it's both.
Yes. I wrote a post about the kind of dominance I want to have, or I want to explore in this coming year, because we talked about last episode, I'm trying to explore being toppier and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones I wrote in there, one of the stories I put in, it had, like, different anecdotes for different types of scenes I wanted to play out, and one of them was being a dominant bottom, and having, like, a boy trained to fuck me, which, mostly just convenience, really. Like, that, like, I just need to find a boy with a cock I like and be like, great, you do this.
Oh my god. Dominant bottoming is so fun. I've been doing that a lot with one of my partners, and it really appeals to my inner, like, lazy queen, because I can just be like, I want you to spank me exactly the way I want to be spanked, and, like, if you do it wrong, I am gonna tell you you're doing it wrong, and it's magnificent. I love it.
Yeah, it's so good, and, like, I don't know why it took so long for me to imagine myself in that role, because, like, it's one of my favorite suggestions for people to be like, oh, you know, you're exploring roleplay. Well, remember, like, you don't have to play into the roles you think. You can flip-flop in these ways and stuff like that. And, like, I have submissively topped people, but, like, it wasn't until very recently I was like, oh, I could, like, I don't have to strap on when I'm being Dami. Like, if I'm feeling like a mask top, I can still get fucked, which is excellent.
Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where I tell you something we hate and something we love. And this week we're talking about 69ing and oral stuff. What is your fuck that?
My fuck that is categorically deciding I don't like something. Like, there are... Okay, there are things that, like, I know for sure I will never like. Like seafood. But, so often... I have been like, yeah, I don't like that thing, and then a little while later been like, oh no, I do like that thing when we do it correctly. Or yeah. When we do it in the way that works, what is correct for me, at least. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what happened with 69, where I was like, I don't like any 69, but what if I invent this thing where, like, you sit on my face and go down on me? And then my brain's like, that's 69! So, like, I really need to just stop saying things aren't my thing, because eventually they become my thing.
Yeah, you gotta keep your mind open, keep your legs open, you know. Exactly. You know how we do.
What about you? What's your fuck that?
My fuck that is receiving really direct tongue flicking, like, right on my exposed clit, which is, like, super not my jam. I'm too sensitive. It's painful. I don't like it. It's the main reason why I think most dudes are not good at giving head to me and require extra instruction. But what's interesting about the 69 position is that it really helps a lot with this, because in that position, they're coming at my clit from above. So they're stimulating, like, kind of the clitoral shaft and the clitoral hood, which is where I tend to focus my attentions when I am doing stuff to myself, because that is much more indirect than attacking the clit directly. And so 69, like, even though there's a lot of, like, mental, like, anxiety stuff and focus stuff that makes me not like it so much, I do really like the actual physical sensation of that. It works well with my bits. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is a Rachel Lark song called Fuck 69 that has been in my head the entire time we're recording. And it's so good. Honestly, like, all of her stuff is really good. Mm-hmm. But that song is just particularly relevant today. And she does, like, ukulele feminist sex-related songs. She started doing them for Body Storytelling and now has a couple albums. Mm-hmm. And they're just this great, and it makes me smile.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah. What about you? What's your fuck yeah?
You're not gonna like my fuck yeah, friend. I'm sorry.
Oh no.
My fuck yeah is choking on cock.
All right.
Yeah, I know. I never used to want this to happen. I would go to great lengths to avoid this happening, because the feeling of choking is, you know, panic-inducing for quite good reasons. But what I found is that when it happens with partners I really trust, who are, like, purposely and deliberately doing that for pre-negotiated kink reasons, it really puts me into subspace really fast, because it's, like, a feeling of being imperiled and very much being under this person's control. And also you get that, like, really thick porn star spit when you choke on the dick.
Yeah, that's really good.
Oh, I have a lot of feelings about that.
Interestingly, when I was going down on my partner, I gagged, like, a couple times and just, like, kept doing it to myself and was, like, completely chill with it. And then we were talking about it after, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, for some reason it was totally fine.
Yeah.
90% of the time, it is very much not.
Yeah, I definitely have to trust the person, because if they're choking me without me having been warned in any way that that's a thing that might happen, I will legit panic. Yeah, that's not fun. But I do like sexting about it, too. It's a really good phrase. I want to choke on your cock. And it just really says it all.
Oof. Yeah, it just, you know, rolls off the tongue.
Thank you, folks, for tuning into this episode of The Dildorks. I hope we gave you at least 69 new ideas to think about.
We did not. We gave them one.
Yep.
This was like the least dynamic episode. We were like, so 69.
There was a lot to say. There's a lot to unpack there. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find my writing at bextalksex.com, which I'm finally doing again after taking my little winter break there. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. I'm also working on spreadsheeting our upcoming episodes for this year, so if there's any topics you'd like to see us tackle, get in touch with me and let me know. I'm looking for all kinds of new ideas. We're also doing that question episode, listener questions, coming up, so send us your questions for that.
Our email address for those is thedildorks@gmail.com. So, yeah, send us all your questions.
Yeah, together we are The Dildorks. We're at The Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us by searching The Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It makes us easier to find and makes us smile.
I wanted to shout out to some of our new Patreon patrons. These are recent additions to our Patreon crew. Lewis, Stephanie, Michael, Haley, and Tyler, thank you so much for being a part of the group of folks who support us in doing this work. It's really important to support the people who make stuff that you like, because then they get to keep making it, which is important to us. You can support us at patreon.com/thedildorks, and you get fun rewards when you do that. Thank you so much to Protodome, who did our theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom, which you can find on his album Chip Funk at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy Gardner at starboots_on Twitter, who did our logo for us. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. That was quite a crunch.
It's a French bread.
Okay. Babe, I'm not going to start the podcast until you're done with your crunching. This is ridiculous. It's crunch time, okay? What is even happening? Okay. I'm in a weird mood now.
I'm sorry. We're going to talk about 69ing. Isn't that sure to cheer you up?
Do you know me? All right. I'm going to get us back on this track.
Yeah.
Track number 69.
Hang on. I want to process my thought more before I go. Sorry for this editing nightmare.
Eh, whatever. It's always. Our show is always a nightmare to edit.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Cool. That's harder to do when we don't have the video.
Yeah, we didn't get to 69 minutes. Mm-hmm.